Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This time on Homicide.
Unsolved homicides actually haunt you, because you always look for an answer for the family.
She was a cross between Gina Lollobrigida and Sophia Loren.
This was a savage attack, an horrific crime.
There would not just be a little bit of blood, there'd be a lot.
This wasn't random.
I think this is somebody she knows.
I'm Ron Eddles. As a kid, all I ever wanted to be was a detective. I ended up spending 42 years in Victoria Police, 25 years in the Homicide Squad. I investigated more than 320 murders and solved most of them. Every murder victim deserves a voice. And it was my job to be that voice. Now, I'm taking you step by step through my most challenging cases to show you how we track down the killers. This is Homicide.
Gina Rosato, Part 1.
I've investigated many homicides. There's one case which still haunts me. It's a case I went to in 1982. It still remains unsolved today. I still have an interest in it. I've followed it all the way through up until now. It's Monday the 16th of August 1982. I was a detective senior constable at the Homicide Squad. I was aged 27 at the time, fairly young, had lots of hair and fresh-faced. It's about 3:30 in the afternoon and we've received a call. There's a motorcyclist riding along Somerton Road in Campbellfield. The motorcyclist stops and he looks down. There's a big pipe and then there's sort of a drain. And he sees the body of a female lying face down, naked. The body is down probably a metre and a half down off the top of the road. And from that, he then contacts the police. Back in 1982, this was a very lonely, lonely spot. There were no houses. The roadway at Somerton was a lane each way. Now it's a dual highway. You think back now, she was someone's mother, she was someone's sister, and here she is face down with horrific injuries. She was just left here on the side of the road like a rag doll. My initial reaction is, how do we solve this? Where do you start? So from a visual examination of the naked body of this lady, we believe that she's aged somewhere between 40 and 50 years. Her throat had been savagely cut. There was bruising to her arms, bruising to her buttocks. To me, it looked like she'd been tied up. We were able to establish later on there was no evidence of any sexual assault. At the end of the crime scene examination, what we're confident to say is that she wasn't murdered there. How do we know that? When someone's throat's cut, there's a large amount of blood. And there was no blood there. What it tells us is she's been killed somewhere else, so we have an unknown crime scene,
but the body has been transported to that location. The first thing is, who is this person? Back in 1982, there was no sophisticated computer system, so we contacted the missing persons unit. We said, do you have any females that are missing? A short time later, they come back and they said, well, we do have a report. On Sunday morning, around 8 o'clock, a lady who'd left Johnson Street, Fitzroy, never got home, was reported missing, and her name is Gina Rosato.
I remember seeing a newsflash on the TV of a body being found. Mum and I just looked at each other and we just knew that it was Aunty Gina. My name's Marisa D'Agostino. I'm Gina Rosato's niece. We always said she was a cross between Gina Lollobrigida and Sophia Loren. She was that sort of glamour. She always took pride in herself without vanity. She was the cool auntie. She was the auntie that used to let me smoke when I wasn't allowed to smoke at home. She was wonderful. She was my favourite. She really was. Auntie Gina lived with her son Mark in Thornbury, Northgate. She was a single mother pensioner. She worked at her sister's restaurant on weekends, just for a little bit of extra cash in hand. She was waitressing that night. She wasn't feeling particularly well, I know that from family discussion. Gina's sister, Belinda, used to live above the restaurant and she was upstairs most of the night with saying she had a headache, but Belinda, knowing her sister well, seems to think she had something on her mind, something was worrying her. I believe that night she came down and spoke to Belinda, her sister, for a while. Belinda had given her some trifle in a bowl to take home and share with Mark. And then it was around 12:30, 1 o'clock that she called a cab home. Normally they'd call the cab, but this particular night they didn't. Gina said, don't worry about it, I'll go get a cab at the corner. That was the last time she was seen alive.
Mark, Gina's son, was home alone that night. He was in his bedroom. Around 3 a.m. he woke up and he realised he hadn't heard his mum come home, and he checked and she wasn't home. And from that he then contacts Belinda. Mum's not home. It's as a result of that that Belinda goes to the Fitzroy police station to report Gina missing. In investigations, I always work from the family out. 95% of murders are committed by someone known to the victim. About 55, you're getting to direct family or very close within the family circle. At the time of her death, she'd separated from her husband and been separated for some time.
My name's Keith Moore. I've been a journalist for more than 40 years and the author of 6 true crime books. Obviously, when Ron Idle started looking at this case, he had to consider the husband, the ex-husband, very quickly ruled out because he was in Italy at the time, so obviously couldn't have been involved. And of course, he had to look at the son, Mark.
So another detective and myself drove to a factory where Mark was working to inform him, sadly, that his mother had passed away. But I don't recall any tears, and I said, well, look, we just need to take you back to our office. Mark made 2 strange comments in the car. One was, my mum wasn't raped. In other words, he's already telling me that he knew that she wasn't raped. The second thing is, I don't drive, I don't have a licence, so how could I ever transport my mother out to Somerton Road? So I thought those things were odd, very odd, and from that, I became a little bit suspicious. But you continue your investigation.
A search of the scene where they found the body off Somerton Road since first light this morning has turned up nothing. None of the dead woman's clothing and no murder weapon. So homicide detectives have turned their attention to the woman's last known movements to get their first vital clues.
We know that on Sunday the 15th of August, at around 1:30 a.m, Gina caught a taxi just near Belinda's restaurant.
The last person to see Gina alive on that Sunday morning was the taxi driver.
The homicide squad is investigating reports that a Holden Kingswood taxi had been seen in the Somerton Road area only 2 hours after the victim was driven to her Thornbury flat.
We did get some reports of a taxi being at the location where Gina's body was found. It was a Holden Kingswood. So we then set about to try and identify the taxi driver.
There was actually a peel in the paper on the Tuesday morning, bodies found Monday afternoon, that the Sun, the morning newspaper, had an appeal from the police saying, we know she's got a taxi home, we'd like that taxi driver to come forward. And the taxi driver actually read the Sun report and handed himself into the police.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So we spoke to the taxi driver and he said, well, yes, I picked her up at the restaurant. She was carrying a glass dish with trifle in it. And I actually drove her to her home in Thornbury. He said, on the way, we had a conversation. She was very pleasant. And in actual fact, I liked her. And I invited her to go out with me. And she said, look, I'll think about it. I pulled up outside the block of flats that she was living in. And in the end, I gave her a piece of paper with my phone number on it. I watched her walk in, and as she left the taxi, she was still carrying a glass dish with the trifle. As she walked away, I thought, God, she's got beautiful legs. And I drove away. Question is, could the taxi driver be involved? Gina could have rejected his advances. The taxi driver could have got angry. He could have lashed out. He could have driven her all the way out to Somerton Road and dumped the body. And then we asked the taxi driver, well, what did you do after you dropped her off? He said, I basically had fares up until about 7:30 in the morning when I finished work. We went back to yellow cab taxis and we got the records from the taxi company which verified what he was saying. We took it another step further and we went and saw the people that he dropped off and they confirmed his story. Plus, his taxi was a blue Ford, not like the Holden Kingswood seen at Somerton Road. I was confident he could be eliminated.
Police asked for public help in clearing up a number of other unsolved clues. Mrs. Rosato left Fitzroy with a glass trifle bowl. It hasn't been seen since.
You know, the trifle dish to me in this investigation is significant.
When Gina left the restaurant, her sister Belinda said, "Why don't you take some of this trifle with you?"
Because that night they'd served trifle as a sweet, and it was a crystal or a glass dish, and it had half a trifle in it. So Gina said, "Yeah, I'll take it." And she jumped in the taxi with the trifle dish. We know that from the evidence of the taxi driver. She's only 10 metres from the front door of her unit. So you've got to ask yourself, if there's someone there hiding that she doesn't know and attacks her, you would think that the first thing would be to drop the trifle dish and there'd be a struggle. If she dropped the trifle dish, she's right outside the lounge room window of the adjoining flat. Surely someone would have heard something. Secondly, if it's someone up there who she knows that meets her before she gets to her door, you would think she would say, "Hang on a minute, I'll just put the trifle in the fridge and I'll come out." We don't find the trifle in the house. The question is, did she get inside her unit? If she did, what happened there? Where is that trifle dish?
If she had have walked in, she would have left her the trifle for Mark. She possibly would have even walked into Mark, "I'm home, I'm just seeing a friend outside," if that was the case. She wouldn't have walked in with the trifle and then walked out with it again. I don't believe that for a minute.
To me, the trifle rules out somebody grabbing her and dragging her into a car somewhere. It suggests that because the trifle wasn't at the scene, somebody she knew waiting outside or somebody she knew inside that persuaded her to go somewhere without a fight.
I think this is somebody she knows. The cause of death was a substantial knife wound to the throat. And I would describe it as the knife going in and then someone pulling the knife around because basically half the neck is severed. This injury indicated to me that it was personal. For whatever reason, she'd been tortured first. Like, there are bruise marks across her buttocks. There are two separate, distinct bruise marks made by a man's belt. The bruise marks even showed the buckle of the belt. What that shows me is that she is alive at the time someone has belted her with this belt, because you can't bruise once you're deceased. I think she's also naked at the time that she's been belted. We don't have a crime scene, so you try and visualise she's somewhere lying face down, being belted, and then ultimately maybe her head is lifted up and her throat is cut.
This is a very sad thing to say and possibly a sweeping statement, but if the naked body of a woman is found, normally there's a sexual motive, but she wasn't raped. I lean more towards the torture and the punishment rather than a sexual motive, but, you know, it's very difficult to know what's in the mind of the perpetrator.
To find out that she was killed that way, so viciously, so almost like a frenzied attack. It was, you know, don't understand how anyone could hate her that way.
At this point, I thought it was definitely someone who Gina knew. I already had suspicion around her son Mark. He's given me two strange comments in the car. I thought they were very odd, so we need to have a further look at Mark. As an investigator, sometimes I guess we speculate to accumulate. I think it was about 1 or 2 days after the body was found, we set up a police caravan. Part of it was to gather information, but we also got Mark to do a press conference. It was for Mark to do a plea in relation to information, but it was also for us to observe him.
Well, like anyone has heard something or might have seen something, to come forward to the police.
And so were Mark's desperate words at Rossmine Street this morning, only metres away from his mother's flat. And how has the ordeal affected Mark and his family?
Well, it's ruined my life, and it's going to take me about 6 months to get over. and it's upset our family and all that.
On that day, Mark seemed to be different. When I spoke to Mark a few days earlier, he was quite introverted. But now he was saying to me, I've now got to pay the bank. I've now got to pay the electricity bill. It was like, I've now got some responsibility. If I had a suspicion around Mark, what was his motive? I can think of one. Some people said his mum was controlling, his mum was stifling him, and it didn't allow him to grow into a young adult. So we get to the point where we make a decision. We're actually going to do a forensic examination of Gina's flat. We obtain a search warrant. We're looking for evidence of a struggle. Maybe broken glass from the trifle dish and evidence of blood.
Wherever Gina was killed, there would not just be a little bit of blood, there'd be a lot. You cut somebody's throat that deeply and the blood just spurts everywhere.
The search has been conducted. The forensic scientists have used aluminol and other chemicals. The end result is there is nothing in that flat which indicates her death occurred there. And I'm satisfied that the flat is not the crime scene. During the investigation, when taking a statement from Mark, he mentioned that from time to time, his mother would have the local butcher around. And he said, I would see Mum and the butcher sitting on the couch in the lounge room, holding hands or just watching television together. I said to Mark, where are we going to find the butcher? He says, it's only 200 metres down the street. So we went to talk to the butcher. The shop is a double-fronted shop, sawdust on the floor in the front part of the shop. We then walked into what I would say is the boning room, a large sort of concrete room, racks running along with hooks hanging on, a slaughterman unloading animals. And you look in there and you think, ideal place to actually kill someone.
Next time on Homicide.
I get some new information. They know each other.
They could have plotted together.
The crime scene has to have happened somewhere.
Could be the killer.
I can't believe it. They could be linked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.